Welcome to Ron Paul and Charles Goyette, the weekly podcast. It's going on in places far and wide around the world. Moves to audit national gold reserves or repatriate gold held by foreign central banks, chiefly held by the U.S. Federal Reserve. Now, the most notable case is the grassroots movement that sprang up in Germany that demanded the repatriation of its gold from the U.S. Fed and from Banque de France. Switzerland will vote in late November on an initiative to repatriate its national gold holdings. This referendum also seeks to halt further gold sales by the Swiss National Bank and demand that the central bank hold 20% of its assets in gold. Until 2000, the Swiss franc had a statutory 40% backing of gold. Meanwhile, like the Federal Reserve, the Swiss National Bank has resisted any form of an audit. Dr. Paul, it's good to see this movement in Switzerland, since Swiss banking certainly isn't what it used to be, and for that matter, the Swiss franc isn't what it used to be either.
You know, I'd like to think it's because people are getting smarter and realizing that fiat money doesn't work, but I think it's the obvious failure of the current system that we've been involved with for these past 40 years, and they're looking for something else. I always thought the total reform would be when the consumer prices, which are going up a lot more than the government tells us, would be going up very, very rapidly. But here we're in a day where the stock markets are high and the bonds are very high and people are scared. And I think it's an economic concern. There's something wrong with these central banks because they bail out the rich and the poor get poorer. The middle class gets wiped out. And the circumstances psychologically is sort of a deflationary psychology, but yet everybody's looking at monetary policy. I think that is very, very healthy to do this, to look at it. And they're looking at central banking. As a matter of fact, as we speak, it looks like we're going to get another vote in the U.S. Congress dealing with auditing the Fed. And if this would be the case, this would be the third time on the House floor that they would have voted for it. So this is very, very, very good. You know, there's concern about central banking, which should be a big concern for everybody. But there's also involved in Switzerland the concern about banking regulations. And it's not only the Swiss banking regulations. It's the regulations of the United States putting pressure and demanding that all other countries, including Switzerland, obey our regulations. I think they're getting fed up with this, and rightfully so, they should. You know, this Federal Account Tax Compliance Act, that's FATCA, although the authority was passed in 2010 by Congress, the regulations that people have to really now look at went into effect this past July. And this probably has something to do with it as well. So I think this is very good that people are getting upset. But it was so disappointing to me in the 1990s, even though it became technically legal in the year 2000. But as early as 1992, they essentially joined the IMF, even though technically it wasn't legal. And once they joined the IMF and the United Nations, what happened? During the first 10 years of this century, they sold off 60% of their gold. So here's the country that had the best reputation for privacy and sound money and gold, and they capitulated and joined the internationalists. And you wonder who was in charge of that country or what kind of pressure was put on them. But now the people there are actually waking up, and this referendum, at least there's enough freedom around to have a referendum, to talk about this. So I am really watching this closely. I hope that the people of Switzerland wake up and have a resounding vote to say enough is enough. Even though they were the last to give up on gold and join the fiat system, maybe they're going to be the first. And this would be pretty neat that Switzerland is leading the charge, that they're going to have some gold backing their currency. They're going to demand that the Federal Reserve give them back their gold. And also they'll have to quit selling it. But they've sold so much off, it would be just foolish for them to sell it off. And the whole point is in spite of the fact that Bernanke says gold is not money, he did admit to me in that conversation that central banks do hold gold, but it's traditional. Well, it's the tradition is it's the ultimate money. And that is something that they haven't given up on. They're trying to fool the people. As long as they can manipulate gold, you know, it makes paper look better. But markets may be slow to react, and it takes a while, but ultimately gold will react just as it did in 1971, you know, when it was artificially held at 35, and then within less than a decade, it went up to 800. So they continue to manipulate gold because the message is so detrimental. So this is what we're looking for, the market to speak out, and ultimately the market will win. The market, in a way, won over communism. You know, communism had to give up because they didn't have a pricing structure. And now there's no monetary structure. So this is why it's exciting to me. I think it's going to be very beneficial for all of us who fight for sound money if the Swiss votes correctly on this referendum.
Yes, it is a very good thing, and it is certainly consistent with the Swiss national tradition. And of course, Bernanke notwithstanding, traditions don't just arise out of nothing. They last, they persist because they work.
Right.
Because they're functional. But you know, there's something else going on that involves the West really being supplanted as the center of gold trading, even if the Swiss redeem themselves with this move. But we see the gold markets of the world now and the gold reserves of the world, the gold holdings of the reserves, flowing in this subterranean fashion from the West to the East. And this really spells diminished prosperity in the West over time and a newfound prosperity in the East. But we see, for example, the gold markets becoming less significant in places like London and even New York. And here's the new Shanghai Gold Exchange for the trading of actual physical metals of bullion that is supposed to open later on this month. And this is a development that is in parallel with the serious and long-term enduring acquisition of gold by people in Asia.
Yeah, I think these trends are very obvious. You know, after World War I, and especially by the end of World War II, there was a shift away from the pound, away from the British. The British Empire ended. The pound was no longer the reserve currency. But by the end of World War II, yes, we were spared the destruction of World War II and World War I, but there was more to it than that. We were producing and selling, and everybody still paid their bills in gold. And what we had after World War II was the greatest amount of gold ever held by one country ever, but systematically because we printed too much money. And I remember how clearly the American people got so furious with De Gaulle in the 1960s because he was saying, well, I'm a suspect. I don't know how long that dollar is going to be convertible at $35 an ounce because foreign banks were allowed to convert it. So he was demanding the gold. And that was the beginning. And this is when I started studying Austrian economics, and they were very clear that it would come to an end. The Bretton Woods couldn't last. And then there would be a systematic undermining of our system. And still, most people, if you talk to them around the world, we're rich. The United States is rich. They have a lot of free markets. We produce a lot. People are still using the dollar. But I tell you what, I think the signs are out there that there's going to be a break in this confidence in the dollar. And when you think of what's happening in Switzerland, this is the eye-opener for monetary policy, but also regulatory policy. I have always claimed that our interference militarily around the world plants bad seeds. Nobody can retaliate, but they remember, and they'll strike back, and I think that's the source of so much terrorism. But now we're assuming that we can regulate them, and this FATCA-type regulation that just went into effect, I think it's going to hurt a lot of people. And when we start down, I think it's going to go rapidly. I don't think this thing, when it starts to fall apart, will take 10 or 20 years to systematically fall apart. We've had our 20 years or 30 years of weakening ourselves and overextending ourselves, not only domestically, but internationally. So I think we do live in interesting times, and I think we should be well prepared that they're going to be very exciting.
Well, Dr. Paul, thank you. It's always encouraging to see grassroots movements spring up to rein in fiat money, to audit central banks, to demand some sort of accountability from governments. These things are hopeful signs that there are people around the world that are waking up. Thank you, Dr. Paul, for another informative conversation and podcast. And we'd like to thank you as well for listening and for telling your friends about our weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette.